listening to Fresh Take.
You're listening to the Fresh Take Network.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
F1 fans out there, not just in the home of F101 Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but around the world. If you're hearing my voice, I can only mean two things. One, that you, my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. And this episode is a very special episode. We are covering just one topic. It is the hot topics that you need to know in the world of F1. And we're going to start off with it 100%. Liam Lawson done after two races, getting dumped by Red Bull. Yuki Tsunoda is finally in, and it's a tale of two stories. Okay, so on the first hand, it's congratulations, Yuki Tsunoda. You finally made it to the big team. You finally made it to the big boys. You get to drive in the big boy car, make that big boy money, make those big boy points. Okay. Second of all, it's what took you so long? Is this actually a good move? And second, what the fuck did Lawson do? Or what didn't he do? This is going to be the only topic we're going to cover tonight, so let's get right into it. Like I said, Liam Lawson done after two races. A little harsh, in my opinion. He didn't really get a chance to show what he can do. One of his bad starts, one of his bad races was 100% due to the car. He had a couple of hydraulics issues, wasn't able to actually perform like he needed to, and yet they still counted that as a strike. Was he, like, first of all, was he even supposed to be in Red Bull? Okay, so he did a couple of supplemental races last year. He subbed in a couple times, showed his aggressive driving style, his no-care attitude type thing, kind of like a younger Max Verstappen, and everybody liked that. That's what they thought Red Bull needed. Come into 2025, two races in, he looks scared, he looks timid, he looks like he doesn't know what he's supposed to do with the car. Now, is that 100% his fault? Absolutely not. Checo Perez said the same thing about the car that he's driving. It's not, the Red Bull car is not that great. Liam Lawson saying the same thing. There are some issues going on with the car. Even Max Verstappen saying some issues with the car need to be fixed right away. So is it the drivers or is it the car? Well, everyone's saying Max Verstappen is driving the car and there can't be anything wrong with it. Okay, that's totally unfair. You cannot compare Max Verstappen to Checo Perez, Liam Lawson, Yuki Tsunoda. You just can't do it. Max is on another level. He can overcome and adapt his driving ability and his style to any little minor frustrations in the car. He has that ability to do that. Now, Checo Perez, obviously, maybe his issues were a little bit bigger. Maybe he doesn't have the type of driving skill that Max Verstappen has. In fact, we know that he doesn't. Yuki Tsunoda, we'll see what he can do with this car. Liam Lawson obviously couldn't overcome the small impediments and the things that were wrong with the car too. So to say that you don't drive as well as Max is not fair. Max can make any car look good. He can pull magic out of his butt in the last minute. He can make, hell, he can even make a Kick Sauber look good. He can make a Haas look good. He can make, at this point, an Aston Martin look fantastic and a podium finishing car. So with Liam Lawson out, I think it's come down to, it's okay to say, it hurts to say if you're a Red Bull fan, but Red Bull is kind of officially in a rebuilding phase. It's a team that won the Stanley Cup, the world pennant, the NBA championship, and then they blow the team up. They try to tweak it. They try to make some things better. They just kind of make it worse. It's time for a rebuild. Now, Liam Lawson was part of the rebuild for about 30 seconds, and then he wasn't. He's gone. Okay, two races. Checo Perez lasted four seasons, then he was gone. Now, granted, all four seasons were not fantastic for him. I would say his last season in Red Bull Racing was not exactly his best and probably should have cut it at least one season short. Daniel Ricciardo, four seasons as well. Again, last two seasons in Red Bull, probably not his best seasons. Maybe he should have left a little earlier, or maybe they should have listened to him when they said the car needs a little tweak. It's not just this year. Everybody who's ever driven with Max Verstappen says there's always something wrong with the car, but Max is able to overcome it. Ricardo said it, Perez said it, Lawson said it. Yuki Tsunoda is going to say it 100%. You know this is going to happen. So in the rebuilding phase of Red Bull, they need to focus more on the car itself. They need to focus on not always listening to Max, listening to the other drivers going, hey, how's this car working out? It's not great. It's too front heavy. It's too back heavy. There's no grip. The shifting is slow. We're slow on the straights. Something along that. Just anything these other drivers have to say, they have to start listening to them. Or Max is going to cancel his contract early. He's going to go, fuck you guys. You don't listen to anybody. You barely even listen to me. And he's going to leave. Now, that's not to say that it was just the car's fault. Checo Perez started off really, really strong. He did okay. I would give him like an 80% grade on his driving, his communication, his teamwork ability. But then his last year contract before he signed that extension was definitely not his favorite. It was definitely not a good year for him. He shouldn't have signed an extension. Red Bull was super excited. They needed to get him in. They needed to get him in now just because they weren't totally sure on what the junior ranks looked like. We all know if you've watched Formula One for more than two seasons that the junior program in Red Bull is just, it's like a gladiator bloodbath. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. You're successful. Your career's dead. Like, it's just, you don't know where it's going. You don't know what direction it's supposed to be heading in. And it's just kind of hang on and here we go. Did they have a whole lot of prospects coming up? Isaac Hadjar, really good prospect. He's now with Racing Bulls. So he actually finished like the proper, what I would consider the proper training schedule in Red Bulls. Liam Lawson, he had this little blip. He did some training. He came in. He kind of, in my opinion, he overproduced. So Red Bull's looking at him going, oh, okay, so let's promote him a little early. Let's take him from Racing Bulls back up to an actual Red Bull seat. He's ready. He's aggressive. Two races later, it's like, I think he may have overpromised, or he just wasn't ready for a car of that caliber. But to cut him short in two races, it seems a little premature. You can't get used to the car if you don't let someone get used to the car. So Liam's going to go back to Racing Bulls, and he's going to have a successful 2025 campaign. I know he is. He's going to gain some points. It's going to be really close between him and Isaac Hadjar. They both know each other. They both generally have the same kind of driving ability, but at the same time, you're not going to be learning anything different than you did the season before. Obviously, Isaac will be because he's in a brand new car, but Liam Lawson, it's like, yeah, I didn't even get comfortable in the seat. They didn't even probably mold it for him yet, and now he's out. It's just kind of unfair for the development of their younger team, their younger drivers in the Red Bull system. It's going to come to a point where you have to promote one of those two guys, and none of them are going to be ready to actually handle the brand new 2026 Red Bull or 2027 Red Bull, because they're going to be in Racing Bulls so much and for so long, it's going to be so foreign to them because they're not going to get enough track time, they're not going to get enough practice or sim time at all to be able to get into that car when need be and be like, okay, I feel comfortable. Here's a realistic feedback of what I need done. Here's a realistic feedback of what we need to do next for us to be successful. They're not going to have that ability. But at the same time, when you think about it this way, everybody's looking at Liam Lawson going, damn, like that's not fair. It's not fair what Red Bull did. Even Max is saying it's not really enough time. Even Christian Horner is kind of starting to admit that, hey, maybe we may have cut the ties a little bit too early. He wasn't working out. Maybe we should have given him more time. But like I said, he's going to go back to Racing Bulls. He's going to get comfortable again. They welcomed him back with open arms. He's going to get some points this weekend in Suzuka. He's going to do well. And the only kind of speculation that you're going to see from here on out is how many more points he will score than Yuki Tsunoda in the Red Bull. Now, are they going to be close? Is one team going to dominate? Is one person going to dominate over the other? It's kind of at this point, I still consider it even. Because Yuki hasn't really had a whole lot of time in that Red Bull, he's still getting used to the systems, he's getting used to the garage, all this kind of stuff. He will, at some point, inevitably stumble. I don't think he's going to fail, but it's not going to be as successful as he had hoped. But at this point, when you're the second car driver like he is, you're just collecting information for Red Bull to give to the team, to give to Max to make it a better car. Max doesn't really add anything strategic to the development of that car because he's such a good fucking driver that no matter what's wrong with it, he can overcome it to a certain extent. And the problem within the team isn't realized on how big it actually is. Until you get someone like Perez, Lawson, Ricardo, where they're like, hey, we're still superstar drivers, but we're not at the same level as Max. This is an actual bigger issue than Max is letting on because he can overcome it. And if Max keeps overcoming these small problems here and there, but everybody else just kind of stumbles out of the starting gate, what are they going to do when he does, when his contract is actually done? Who are you going to bring up? You're going to bring up Lawson? Only be gun shy at that point if he doesn't go to another team. Are you going to bring up Isaac? You got to give Isaac some practice time. Like, this is his first season in F1. He's in the Racing Bulls. Automatically, I would give him another two seasons at least before you give him a sniff at the big boy team. But at that time, you may not have a choice depending on if Lawson stays, if Yuki stays. You know, all of these things are massive question marks in this rebuild of Red Bull going, what are we going to do 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road? You've got a new set of rules. Consider in the future, Max is gone in 2028. So once he's gone, what are we going to do? His dad will be gone with him. Max, obviously, his father travels with him. I'm hoping they get rid of 90% of that senior staff that's at Red Bull, that just chatter and chatter for absolutely no reason. Marco, you're Dr. Marco Helm. You're one of them. You are absolutely the biggest problem in Red Bull right now. If you're going to do a rebuild, get rid of him. He doesn't do anything useful for this team. He adds remarks to the public eye, or he adds remarks to the public ear that they don't need to hear, that he's revealing what's going on in the background when no one needs to know. It just makes shit so much more complicated that it needs to be in Red Bull. Not only that, taking into consideration that you can kind of count this season as the last of an era. Does this really count for the future? Because moving forward in 2026, Red Bull's power unit is going to be done by Ford. It's not going to be done by Honda anymore. Honda has a really great track record of they're in, they're out, they're in, they're out, they're in, they're out of F1. But when they are in F1, they produce some of the best engines this sport has ever seen. End of statement, period, right? Like, they're super consistent. They hardly ever have any problems. The power, the upgradability is just unparalleled. Now, you've got Ford coming in. What's that going to do to their chances of top line speed, straight line speed, reliability? Like, Ford hasn't done this in a very, very, very long time. And the demands on a Formula One engine now, and the demand of the public and the focus from the public eye and sponsors, I don't think they've quite realized what they've gotten themselves into. And this is just another step in that rebuilding process going, why not give Lawson a full year, give him a year and like a year and a half, give him a half a season for next year. Let him figure out the engine. Let him find out what the limitations are before you throw in Yuki Tsunoda. Yeah, it's another year and a half that he has to wait, which is super frustrating for him. I understand that, or at least as much as I possibly can, but let the rookies figure everything out. Don't put it all on Max, okay? Max will do what Max does best. He'll push that engine. He'll get the power. He'll have his complaints, but it's minuscule compared to what everybody else deals with. And rumor has it with this change that Lawson's back at Racing Bulls, it is going to be for the entire season. This swap was not a one-off just because it was Japan. Now, granted, it has been noted and it has been documented that Honda gave Red Bull an extra $10 million to put Yuki in for essentially selling more merchandise at the race. They wanted Yuki Tsunoda in the big boy seat in front of all the fans, in front of essentially his hometown race. Now, whether that had something to do with Red Bull's decision to make the switch in Suzuka and not maybe further on down the road, it does raise a gigantic question mark on what their intentions were. If it just was massive coincidence and timing, if it just happened to be, you know, the right circumstance to do this move and it kind of got shuffled into the hometown race thing. Or hell, it's Red Bull. You never know. They could have actually planned it. Like, hey, oh, we're going to get more money. Well, instead of cutting Liam Lawson 5 races from now, we'll just do it now. We'll gain an extra $10 million. We'll make our sponsors happy. We'll gain more money, and then we're off to the races. Whatever happens, happens. Let's just roll the dice and figure it out. Not exactly the best way they've handled this transition. Yuki has looked a little lost. He didn't sound surprised, but at the same time, you could see that, oh, okay, so I'm doing this now. It was kind of like that momentum of like, okay, I know I'm doing this at some point this season, but I wasn't quite expecting it to be second race in the year. So, I mean, it's literally only going to be a, you know, kind of a fuck around and find out with Red Bull this year with the rebuild of how well Yuki Tsunoda will actually do in that Red Bull compared to Liam Lawson. It's going to be definitely a very, very interesting story to watch. With all of this talk being said, what about Yuki Tsunoda? He is now officially in the eye of, you know, kind of like, what do you call it? Kind of like in the eye of the storm at this point when it comes to Red Bull transactions. He has been in Racing Bulls, kick whatever you want to call it, B-carb, for a couple of seasons. So he's definitely cut his teeth. When you first saw him join, he was very animated. He was very short-tempered. He was very rash almost with his decision-making, with his explanations of what happened. And it almost seemed like he would be more focused and more distracted on what happened around him than what he actually needed to do. But over the years, we've seen him very much mature as a and coming into and becoming a very reliable F1 driver. Definitely someone whose stock has definitely risen and someone you definitely need to be paying attention to. Now, at the same time, he's been passed over so many times by Red Bull for any kind of opportunity that I think there's a little bit of jadedness in his demeanor at this point. Yes, he's got to be happy to be in Red Bull. Who wouldn't be when they get promoted? But at the same time, it's going to be kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised from him. He's got his own personality. He's got his own little head of steam that it wouldn't be surprising if he just kind of did a mid-season fuck you to Red Bull. And when it comes down to team orders or team decisions or just strategy in general, it wouldn't be surprising if he just kind of did his own thing just to prove to Red Bull that, hey, I do know what I'm doing. You passed me up way too many times, and I'm actually an asset. Hey, look what I can do kind of off script. Now, you can look at this in one of two ways. Either it's going to be a really good development for him. Red Bull's going to learn a lot that he is the new number one driver for Red Bull once Max leaves. Or it's going to end like tragically for him. He's either going to do his own thing. And I think he's going to do his own thing. And he's going to have to learn his place once or twice. He's going to flip out. He's going to have a Yuki moment and do something really stupid. And he's going to be, he'll be chastised to a full extent that Red Bull does. And by that, I mean, no upgrades on the cars. Max gets everything. Max gets the preference even more so than he does now. He does still have to learn where he is in the pecking order in Red Bull. He is not the number one driver. He is definitely the second driver, and they've made it very, very clear there is a rotating door of drivers. But if he sticks to his plan, if he listens to his strategists, if he listens to the team and just learns throughout the season, I mean, we still have 22 more races to go, all right? So there's plenty of time for him to learn, to get better, and to become a real asset. As long as he learns from the team and he grows, then I think it's going to be a very successful season for him. He is going to be able to know where he fits in, what his job description is, and what he needs to do to keep his seat year after year. And I'm sure he's got it in the back of his mind that he needs to succeed right out of the gate. He needs to be able to succeed where others have failed, which means he needs to be able to overcome smaller problems with the car, not always complain about everything, not compare himself to Max Verstappen like everybody else does on that team, and be able to give more informed feedback in more critical and important times. Now, it's not to say that Perez and Ricardo didn't do that, but it always kind of seemed like it was a little bit behind. You'd tell me at 12:30 that something went wrong at 12. Okay, well, that's not very helpful to the team. You need to be able to tell them as soon as humanly possible, hey, this is what I've noticed in practice 1, 2, and 3. This is what I noticed when it came to qualifying 1, 2, and 3, depending on how far you make it. Like keeping them, essentially keeping up on the ABCs of the sports world. It's always be communicating, always telling them what's going on, but make it constructive, not just complain that you're slow, not just complain that the car feels heavier, the car feels this, the car feels that. Max does that enough for everybody, but they're able to read that feedback and be able to fix the issue. Yuki needs to go a little bit deeper. Hey, this car feels really loose in the back end. How about you check 1, 2, 3? Or, hey, I've noticed that, you know, sixth gear, as soon as I switch, it's this, this, and this. Don't try to overcome it by yourself. Ask questions. Figure out where this team wants the car to go. Figure out how you can fix it yourself before you always go begging to mom and dad going, please help me fix this. And with all of this information that he wants to, that he should be giving the team, he needs to be able to essentially fix the second car. That's what I do believe that will definitely keep him in Red Bull, having intelligent feedback to the engineers and being able to fix the second car where he is able to not necessarily compete with Max, but be in the top 10 every single time. When they need him to have fifth place, he needs to be able to execute that with a good running car, with a good head on his shoulders, with a good sense of, I know what I need to do, I know the direction, and I trust this car because I've given them the feedback, they've listened, and they've turned this vehicle into something that I can use and trust and gain points with. And I think on the mental side, once all the mechanical stuff is figured out, on the mental side, he needs to be able to block out the comparison between himself and Liam Lawson in the 2025 season. Because we didn't get to see what Liam was able to do, there's going to be 100% comparison that if Yuki doesn't kill it every single weekend, every single lap, like for Yuki to not catch this criticism, he needs to outperform Liam Lawson for every single full practice qualifying sprint race, sprint qualifying and race for the next 22 races. He needs to be able to do that. He has to do that. And if he does slip and stumble, he needs to be able to have that mental toughness, that mental wall that goes up, because people are going to say, oh, you know, the one race out of 21 races, Liam Lawson finished fifth and you finished 18th. What happened? You're absolutely garbage. He needs to be able to block that out. And at the same time, if it is end up being a close race, because Liam does have experience in racing bulls, he has to be able to have that mental toughness to compete against Lawson and not start to overthink it or second guess himself of why he's here. And he still needs to keep that trust in the vehicle for the entire season. Because we all know, if you don't have confidence in the Red Bull system, if you don't agree with the Red Bull system and you're not productive, you're out of here. You are absolutely gone. There's absolutely no reason for them to keep you around. And Yuki Tsunoda knows this. And Red Bull could just as easily switch Lawson back mid-season if Yuki's not performing. Hell, they'd bring up Isaac Hadjar after a half season if Yuki Tsunoda is not producing the way they want him to. It's a very knife-edge situation that Yuki Tsunoda is definitely in. And after all the conversations, and after all the analogies, and after all of the podcast commentary and watching it on F1, in my opinion, and this humble podcaster's opinion, it comes down to two simple questions. One, was this the correct move for Red Bull? Was Yuki Tsunoda actually ready to join the Red Bull team, or did they cut Liam Lawson way, way, way too early? And the second question is, who is going to score more points? If Liam Lawson ends up outscoring Yuki Tsunoda in essentially a less superior car than what Yuki's driving in, it will definitely show that they did make the wrong move, that Liam Lawson is the future of Red Bull if they're patient enough. My prediction, 2025, a lot of people have asked me since this has happened, a lot of friends, a lot of family, and a lot of you wonderful listeners out there, what is my prediction for 2025? I am going to say wholeheartedly 100% Liam Lawson in a familiar team and what seems to be a slightly more superior vehicle this year, Liam Lawson is going to outscore Yuki Tsunoda. Now, I don't think it's going to be by a ton. It's not going to be 25, 30, 50, or 100 points, but he is going to outscore Yuki just for the fact that Liam is going back to a team that he knows, that he's familiar with. He knows the car, he knows, and he has almost no expectation on him now. The team is just happy to have him back. Just drive your races. Hey, if you succeed, amazing. You're going to show people what you're made of. If not, you just blame the car, essentially, is what's going to happen. And if Yuki doesn't perform, he has much more pressure and many more eyes on him. If Yuki doesn't perform, it's going to be, well, it's a combination of the car and Yuki Tsunoda is still not ready to drive in Red Bull. Send him down to Racing Bulls for another 2, 3, 4 years, or hell, ship him off to another team for something else. Well, folks, that is my take on the newest hot topic of Liam Lawson being replaced after only 2 races with Yuki Tsunoda for Red Bull Racing. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. What do you think? Is Liam Lawson going to be outperforming Yuki Tsunoda? Did Red Bull make the right decision when they swapped out the drivers? I want to know your guys' predictions. I want to know your guys' thoughts. So please leave comments down below. And as always, I would like to say send out a massive, massive thank you to all the fans of F101 out there. Without you guys, I wouldn't be having as much fun with this as I absolutely would. And because of my wonderful, wonderful, dedicated fans, I'd like to let you guys know that my last episode finally hit 100,000 downloads. Thank you very much, everybody. It's been a whirlwind. It's been fun. It's been one of those cases where it's just, I couldn't have done it without you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you very much. You guys all deserve a round of applause. And so without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, folks and F1 fans around the world, thank you very much for tuning into this episode of F101. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And until the next episode, keep those tires turning and that engine revving. We'll talk to you next time.